The universe is big. We're small. God may feel far away, but he's not. This is the You're Not Alone podcast, and I'm your host, Pastor Dave Andrus. One of the gifts God has given us is emotions. But at the same time, emotions sometimes are, I don't want to say a curse, but certainly a big problem. And right now, it's coming up to Christmas time, and I think that's the way it can be sometimes with our emotions. They can get us into trouble, they can lift us up, but they can bring us great disappointment as well. You might be familiar with the old Christmas song, "You better watch out, you better not cry, better not pout." You can probably finish it, telling you why Santa Claus is coming to town. And what does that song say? He knows when you are sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been good or bad, for goodness sake. And really, when it comes down to it, it almost scares kids into the emotion of, oh my gosh, Santa's not going to give me any presents. Well, even if kids believe in Christmas and they're afraid they might not, they clean up, and I don't think any of them really think that they're not going to get any gifts. They might realize they've got some things they got to fix in life, and yet they try to do a little bit better, and then, with the whole thought of Christmas emotions, and it's a blessing and yet a challenge, I went to church a week ago. Well, I usually go to church, but a week ago, the reading was from Luke chapter 3, and it was one about John the Baptizer. And it was said of him that he's the voice of one calling in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord. Every valley shall be filled, and every hill and mountain will be made low, the rough places made smooth." And that was a quote of an Old Testament prophecy that John was really fulfilling, because he was the one preparing the way for Jesus. I get that. But then verse 7 of chapter 3, John says to those who came to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance." That doesn't sound much like a Christmas message, does it? I mean, Christmas, we're supposed to have that joy and celebration and the upbeatness and all those wonderful emotions of hooray, God's with us, and great cheer. And then we hear something like this? Oh my gosh. It's almost, when I heard this, I'll be honest, even in church, I was like, this is a downer. This is a downer. And yet, sometimes that's how our life is, isn't it? A downer. And though we want to be up, and we want everything to be great, it's not. I know many of you who are blind and visually impaired, you wish for this and that. You would hope that people would invite you to Christmas parties, or you wish you could go out and buy and give gifts to your friends, and you thought you might, and on, and yet we're left short. I know that's true with many of you, including myself. I have those struggles of emotions as well, that I can't do everything I wish I want at Christmas time, and so it kind of leaves me sad. Well, actually, here's what was good. The sermon did unpack this quite a bit, because really, just as I've laid this out, that's the first glance reading, but there's really more to it than that. When John the Baptizer was speaking to that crowd, he saw people who were coming just because they were carrying through with the motions. They really weren't there to repent. They really weren't there to seek the Lord's help. They really weren't there to improve their lives or get closer to God. They were just doing it because everyone was doing it. And we can think of lots of times in life that people are like that. They go along and do things just because others are doing it. And maybe sometimes even with church, I go because everyone else is going. I read the Bible because everybody else reads the Bible. That's why John was saying, "You brood of vipers." They were missing the point of their coming to him to be baptized. The point was repentance. But it's not just turn from your bad stuff and do your good stuff. No, there's a lot more to it. The sermon unpacked that. In verse 10, the crowd asked him, "What shall we do then?" This was after the message that John had spoken. And John answered them, "Whoever has two tunics, give to the one who has none. And whoever has food, do the same." And the tax collector said, "What shall we do?" John said to them, "Collect only what you are authorized to do." And then the soldiers, and this is the one that got me to realize the difference of repentance. Of it isn't just do this, do that. The soldiers said, "And we, what should we do?" And John said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone or bring false accusations to people, but be content with your wages." What John is trying to say here is an attitude change, not a life do this, do that, and the outward things, but an attitude change. Tax collectors, their thought was money, money, money. That's why I'm in this job. I can get more money, money, money. That was their attitude. Soldiers, well, they liked to beat up on people. They liked to extort money because they had authority and they could clout it over people. And even the poor, John referred to them. You know, hey, I know you don't got much. I know you can't do much, but do whatever you can. Share. And John's point was simply have a change of attitude, because he was preparing the way for the Lord. And that's what it talked about. And the way of the Lord is that God can make a difference in our lives. Technically, it wasn't John who leveled the mountains and the hills and filled in the valleys and made smooth the rough places. It was Jesus. Jesus, by his death on the cross, made the path to heaven straight, clean, and easy. Simply trust in me, not yourself, not your piety, not your works, not anything you are trying to do. Just simply believe that I came, I lived, I died to forgive you. When he straightened that path, now the valleys of guilt and the mountains of regret, they're gone because God's forgiven them. And now, because Jesus prepared the way, we can rejoice. Our emotions can be different. No, it'll still be kind of sad when we can't do everything we wish. But we aren't overwhelmingly bowed down by our emotions, because this season gives us real reason to rejoice. Because Jesus came to be with us, Emmanuel, he not only worked out our salvation, which I've mentioned, but he walks with us. He understands the aches and the pains, the hurts, the problems, the wishes, the could-haves, the would-haves, because he walked this road too. He was the one actually who made the paths smooth and straight. And because he understands, he knows when we cannot. And as John says, well, if you got nothing, if you got tooth of something, share it. And do what you're authorized to do to the tax collectors. And don't try to be authoritarian and like a soldier, but be content with your wages. Do your job and be content. What Christmas brings to us is a reason our emotions can change. Because it's not a road of despair, but it's a road of hope. Because our God first understands. Second, our God helps us in our difficulties. And third, God uses what we do to help others. And so, when I understood what repentance really is a change of attitude. When my attitude changes, it's a lot easier to change my behavior. Then I can do these things. And that's why John was talking to them. Their attitude had changed because they realized the Savior was coming and that he would take away sin. And so with that knowledge, they wanted a change of action, but they weren't sure what to do with the change because they had the attitude, but now what? And so it is with us. What do? Well, we have the change of attitude. We have hope. We can rejoice. God is with us, promises something better in the future. Well, we now here can act not like a soldier beating up people or having authority over people. We don't have to squeeze out everything we can from everybody because we think we're cut short or depraved. And even if we're real, real poor, which I know many of you are, yet the Lord has blessed you. And because he has blessed you and you see what you have as a blessing, you're able to share with others. That's what Christmas is about. That Jesus changed our attitude from the inside out, not the outside in. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for emotions. Though sometimes they confuse us and sometimes mislead us, we thank you that you did not mislead us nor confuse us, but made it simple and straight. Trust in me, I will forgive, and I will bless. Lord, help us now to trust in you. And as our attitude has changed and we rejoice and give thanks because you're in our lives, may that reflect outwardly, even in our emotions, so that we can let that rub off on other people. And when they ask why, we can say, because my God loves me. Thank you for loving us. In your name we pray. Amen. And I love to hear from you. You're certainly free to write me at dave.andrus, A-N-D-R-U-S, at not-alone.net. Thanks. I'm only an email away. Dave.andrus at not-alone.net.